Welcome back to the game. Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fordner with you for the next hour, leading you up to coverage of Kansas State baseball. Wildcats in action against in-state rival Wichita State. 6:30 first pitch from Toynton Family Stadium. Pre-game coverage starts at 6 o'clock. In this hour, some K-State football discussion, leading off with an interesting article about the Wildcats and their national championship prognosis for this season. I'm going to be wearing my purple tinted glasses for that, but then I'll take them off for a comparison that I made today between Bill Snyder and Nick Saban. And I bring this up because Nick Saban got a contract extension today for three additional years, and he also got a $4 million signing bonus as part of that. So he's going to make $11 million this season. Bill Snyder will make $3.1 million this season. So I asked the question on my Twitter page, posted a poll, which coach is the better value between the two, Bill Snyder or Nick Saban? We will get to those results, and I will give my own take on that coming up at 5:25. We'll also talk to John Kurtz from Toynton Family Stadium and finish things off with a very, very top-heavy or pretty loaded Jabroni of the Week, right? I'm told that we've got some audio for this week's candidates.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Pretty good?
Going to take a look back at what unfolded during the NFL draft.
Now, before the show, you told me that you had not yet settled on an actual Jabroni winner yet. Have you found
one? I think I figured it out.
Okay.
I think I have.
All right. Well, if you haven't, you only got about 40 minutes left to figure it out.
No, so we're good to go. It's going to be solid.
I actually did not see this article until I got to work today, but this is an article titled, Kansas State Has Too Many Issues to Contend for a Playoff Spot. Unfortunately, it's an ESPN Insider article, so you do have to be subscribed to ESPN Insider to read it. But there were a lot of things that stood out to me about this article, and I will say from the top that I do not expect K-State to be a college football playoff team this year. There has been a few little bits of evidence or a few bits of support from national reporters and experts as they're naming K-State a potential sleeper for the college football playoff or to be a Big 12 championship winner. But for the most part, I think the general consensus on K-State is that they will be a solid team, a team that should win 9 or 10 games, similar to what they did a year ago, and are probably still a step behind what they would need to be to win a national championship or to go to the college football playoff. But in this article itself, there were some pieces of evidence that I really didn't like from the author. It was Casey Joyner who wrote this article for ESPN Insider. And he starts by saying that K-State is overhyped and saying that the Wildcats, or at least according to the ESPN Football Power Index, the Wildcats have a legitimate claim of being a sleeper in the CFP for 2017. But that doesn't really make sense because if you're going to say they have hype, then you're not going to say that they're a sleeper. Those are total opposite ends of the spectrum. So that didn't really make sense to begin with. But let's get into the actual evidence that he points out here. Starts out with this bullet point, atrocious pass defense. Kansas State returns three starters from a secondary that played some of the worst pass defense in college football last season. That's pretty damning, if that were actually true. But he goes on to say the Wildcats ranked 61st in completion percentage allowed, tied for 58th in touchdown passes allowed per game, 62nd in passing yards allowed per game, and 49th in yards per attempt. But that's out of 128 teams in FBS. So K-State, in basically every measurable way, was either average or slightly above average in terms of FPS last year with their pass defense. They were not last in the Big 12 in any of those categories. They weren't second to last in the Big 12. They were, in most of those, seventh in the Big 12. They were fourth to last, but they were still ahead of Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, and Texas, I believe. I may need to check that, but K-State was not a great pass defensive team last year, but they were not awful. And I think that saying that they returned three starters from a secondary that played some of the worst pass defense in college football last season is being pretty unfair, in my opinion.
Well, let's take it one step at a time here. With the secondary, we're always going to complain about it because of the cushion. That's just
That's just the way that they play. Yes. They are always going to allow a pretty high completion percentage. Yes.
Here's my question for you, though. Why are you letting this guy bother you?
I will tell you why. I will tell you exactly why. Because it's May 2nd, and we have to talk about something K-State related.
Well, here's the deal. Here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the word overhyped. Because the first preview I saw of the 2017 Wildcats, I don't remember who it was by, but it said the Cats would make the college football play. And I'm like, whoa, stop the clock.
Where was that?
This was early.
Okay.
Early.
I didn't see that. Look, they are getting respect. I don't know if I would call it hype. In most of the way too early preseason top 25s, including one that was released by ESPN yesterday, K-State was 18th.
Right.
So I
have seen is all that
a
over.
Is that okay. a contender? I don't know.
Here's the deal. I don't think anybody's really ever sure about K-State. I'm never sure about K-State.
Right.
John Kurtz thinks he's sure about K-State. Matt Walters thinks he's sure about K-State. Here's the deal. Nobody's sure. It's because it's the same thing over. You get player. We've talked about this 100 times. K-State gets players that maybe aren't on the top of everybody's list of all these powerhouse players. These guys are at the top of coming out of high school. K-State doesn't get those guys, but Bill Snyder's able to turn those average guys into pretty good athletes and pretty good football players on Saturdays. That's great, but K-State. You can't judge them until you're a couple games in. You can't judge them until you figure out, who is exactly going to lead this team to wins when it comes to conference play. That's just I love the word overhyped. It's because, some coaches like to do this thing where they like to get their players fired up by saying, "This team was saying this about you." They're talking trash about you all week long. Are you going to let that happen? It's a very high school thing to do, but it still happens at the next level. That's bulletin board material right there.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that there's a lot of bulletin board material in this. I mean, when I think of hype, I think about if you log on to ESPN.com right now, who has 3 or 4 articles written about them? Alabama, always that way. Clemson right now is certainly that way. Michigan, they have stories about their trip to Rome. You're going to see that about those. An article on the homepage about K-State, you just never see that. So I wouldn't call K-State a team that's hyped. But I want to move further down this list. I mentioned the bullet point about atrocious pass defense. The author here, Casey Joyner, goes on to the next bullet point is mediocre passing attack and says the Wildcats ranked 57th in pass yards per game and 60th in passing touchdowns per game. They could be chalked up to the fact that K-State doesn't rely on the passing game, but the Wildcats also ranked 45th in yards per completion, 47th in yards per dropback, 46th in sack percentage. I mean, all of those different things. And I'm reading this, and I'm getting into all these, and I'm like, wait a second. Am I mistaken, or did K-State go 9-4 last year with those numbers and by absolutely every account should have won 11 games instead of 9? They had Oklahoma State beat. They had West Virginia beat. They ended up losing those games, but they still went 9-4 with those exact statistics that you're rattling off. And K-State is bringing back 14 starters from that team. So statistically, I don't feel like there's a whole lot you can say and make your case to, well, K-State obviously has no chance because they were 60th in X statistic last year. Yeah, they were 60th and they went 9-4. You have to give them some respect for that, and that goes down to coaching. K-State, you can never measure how good a coach actually is and what kind of impact he truly has, but Bill Snyder is going to be in the top 10 in that category basically every single game, every single season, and I think that there needs to be more respect administered for that, and there's just this piece is, about 1,000 words just talking about how K-State statistically doesn't stack up. Well, sometimes it doesn't matter if they statistically stack up. Sometimes they're just going to be better than you anyway.
But here's the deal. Okay, you just brought up another word I'd like to talk about. Respect. Okay? You throw in the word overhyped. The reason that word is in that article is because K-State is obviously not respected in this format, the way we're talking about it right now, which is this article from ESPN. K-State's on Oklahoma. The respected teams are the top teams in each league. K-State had that respect in 2012. They're talked about nationally week after week as Colin Klein was leading the Cats into week, well, the 11th game of the season, which was Baylor. Once they lost that game, there was still some respect, but they weren't recognized as much as they were. I couldn't watch SportsCenter for a week, so I don't know exactly how much coverage they were getting after that after that game, but once they won the Big 12 title, yeah, it was there, and then they went to the Fiesta Bowl, had an underwhelming game, and then there was no more respect. It was gone. Okay, K-State was, right. was back to not hardly being talked about nationally, and it's all about working your way back up to that respect. If K-State, which I think they will prove themselves, you know, down the road once the season gets going, it's going to take some time. We'll see if K-State, I think there's a decent shot they'll be a top 25 to begin the season, but, you know, you still have to beat Oklahoma. You still have to beat Oklahoma State because it's all about proving yourself once you get to that level.
Well, continuing to go down this article, and again, we are taking this apart way more than necessary, but
you got me going.
It's May 2nd, and it's K-State football, and it's a very rare case of an article about K-State football being posted to ESPN's homepage, and so it catches your attention, and you want to look at it.
Well, you don't like people talking trash on your team, correct?
Sure, fine. Okay. I can accept it if it's warranted. I just think that there are a lot of things in here that aren't warranted. And going on to the next point here, I've mentioned the statistics that are pointed out about K-State's pass defense and their pass offense that were mediocre last year, but still they won 9 games. The next one here, K-State can't keep up in the high-scoring Big 12. K-State went 6-3 in the Big 12 last year. Patrick Mahomes is gone. Skylar Howard is gone. Baylor is not the Baylor of old. Yes, Mason Rudolph is really, really good. Yes, Baker Mayfield is really, really good. But come on. I realize that K-State is never going to average 50 points a game like we see from Texas Tech and Oklahoma and some of these other teams. But they find a way to win games. And I just think that it's very lazy to say, well, they can't keep up with the high-scoring Big 12. Everyone says that going into every game that K-State has against one of those high-powered offenses, and they always are held to like half of their normal season output, whether K-State wins the game or not. So it's just a lot of the – mainly the reason that I brought this up today was because it's a lot of the really old, worn-out arguments against K-State that we've heard so many times, and K-State has disproven. And I feel like at this point you should be giving the Wildcats a little bit more credit than that.
I mean, I understand he's this guy that you're bringing up. He's creating conversation. I like conversation.
Oh yeah, he has accomplished his goal. There's no doubt about that.
He's lit a fire, and he's letting both sides of the conversation put kindling in that fire, letting it boil. You know, letting it get to a certain point. But when I like it. I like the fact that somebody is maybe downgrading this team a little bit. You know, I don't know if it's gonna maybe make you think a little bit about where this team might actually be next year. We know better than this guy, though. I mean, we know how good this team can be. But I take that as encouragement. That's just the way I am. You know, I didn't play football in college, obviously. But if I think back in the day, anybody
that's stunning news to me,
would talk trash on us. Well, amigo, I took that as encouragement.
Well, the final bottom line here at the end of this piece, just to bring this all to a close, is the author pointing out that the Football Power Index projects K-State to win between 7 and 8 games in 2017. So when you point that out, doesn't that kind of reverse your own argument that K-State is getting too much hype? If your own metric, if you work for ESPN and ESPN's computer says that they're going to win between 7 and 8, then where's the hype that you're talking about K-State having too much of? I just think there's a lot of contradictory information in this piece, even though he tries to be very statistical about it.
My final opinion here, it's almost like politics. You're trying to put facts out there to prove
fake news.
What you're trying to put out there. You're trying to put facts out there to make the other side understand your point is right more than their side. But the thing is, the other side isn't listening to you. They don't care because they still believe
true.
In their side.
That's true. That's a very good point, and we saw that actually mentioned it on last week's show, Oklahoma's assistant coaches all putting out that graphic. but they weren't able to put out a graphic that had the longest draft streaks in the Big 12 because K-State has the number one draft streak in the Big 12. So their graphic was longest streak of years in which you've had at least four draft picks, and Oklahoma has nine, and like no one else in the Big 12 is more than one.
And that streak continued.
It did continue. Half of the draft picks from Oklahoma have been accused of violence against women, but that's a different discussion for a different day.
Speaking of a team that needs a reload,
yeah,
that's a topic for another day. I was just kind of thinking about that.
Yeah,
a lot of that offense is gone.
But it's an example right there. You can make the stats look however you want them to. If you're smart, you're going to read into more than what's on the paper, and you're going to use some of your own analysis, and that's what I was trying to do with that piece. Okay. Over the course of this next break, I'm going to take the purple glasses off, and I'm going to go in the opposite direction for our next discussion, which is Nick Saban versus Bill Snyder. Who is the better value among college football coaches? I'll have the poll results as well coming up next on The Game.